Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy.
Welcome to Motivational Monday. I hope you had a Merry Christmas, and it is the countdown to the new year. It's a countdown to ringing in 2026. So I'm going to offer you an activity to do along with me. Take a blank piece of paper. Fold it in half so it looks like a book. On the outside of the paper, I want you to write the word out. Open it up, and on the inside, I want you to write in. Think of it like a book. If you're holding it up and looking at the word out that you've wrote on the top, it's like the outside of a book. It's like the cover. Then if you open it up like you would to read the inside of a book, you see the inside. I want you to think of this as you are approaching the new year. I want you to think of the idea that the outside of you is how other people are witnessing your relationship with Jesus and your walk in His Word. That's all they have to judge your relationship by. The things that you say, the things that you do, the things that you believe, how you behave, how you act, how you voice over yourself, how you voice over others, how you just lead life. Is it carefree? Is it chaotic? Is it worthy? Is it worrisome? All they have to judge you by is the outside. Very similar to if you walk into a bookstore. I went down not too long ago with a friend of mine to see a Walton Arts Center gospel choir show, and we were a little early. We'd eaten at Pickleman's, and so we thought, hey, what a great way to waste time. We went down into the Dixon Street bookstore. I could get lost in there. You could spend hours, spend the night, spend days down there. But I literally picked up a book. It was back in the Bible section, and it was, you know, how all the books are normally going vertically. This one was laid horizontal on the top of books that were vertically sitting there. And so that struck my attention first and foremost, that it was laying the wrong way. It was blue. It was very old. And so just that, the way it was laying and the oldness of the cover and the color was alluring to me. It got my curiosity piqued. So I pulled it off the shelf, looked just at the cover, didn't even open it yet. And I already thought to myself, I want to purchase this and take it home. I judged it totally by what? The outside. And it's going to be another podcast episode before you figure out the title and what it was about that was so alluring to me. But I just want you to see how fascinated you can be by the outside of something. But as we head into 2026, I want you to realize that the only outpouring and output that we can have as humans on other humans is only from an overflow of our inputs. So I want you to open up your piece of paper that you wrote in on, and I want you to write down the Bible reference, Psalm 119:11. Psalm 119:11. I want you to look it up and write it down from your translation, but I'm going to read it to you out of the ESV. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The first word that jumped out to me is stored. And the first thing I thought of is, as I approach 2026, what is the commitment I am going to make to store up God's word in my heart? Why are we doing it? It's for the after the comma, that I might not sin against God. That's why I'm storing it up. I'm doing it for myself. I'm doing it for the inside. I'm doing it for the personal relationship, the private relationship with God. That's why Paulette is doing it, for Paulette. But out of the rhythm and the discipline and the commitment of that, the Spirit is going to allow me to overflow. And when God wants to bring other people into my walk with Him, that will be part of the output. When He cultivates and creates a passion for me to grab others and walk with them as they walk with God, that comes out of my overflow. I have to have a personal reservoir first. I have to build that up first. So, if you look at other translations of Psalm 119:11, some have this wording, King James Version, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." If you think about hid and stored, they mean the same, but in some weird way, when I think of hiding something, I think of keeping it for myself. So then let's look at another translation. "I have treasured your word in my heart." Ooh, I love that. Storing it up, hiding it, but treasuring it. Here's another one. "I have laid up your word in my heart." I love that idea of layers, 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 layers of the discipline of meeting with God in His word. I think of that book in the Dixon Street bookstore that was laid up the wrong way. That's what got my attention. That it was going against the grain of the whole bookstore and all the shelves. It was laid up the wrong way. What if we laid up the Word of God in the right way, but the fact that we were going against the grain of the world, it got someone's attention. It was alluring to someone that we were walking the narrow path, that we had peace in turmoil, that we had calm in chaos, that we had joy even in all situations, because God's grace is sufficient. And wouldn't that be alluring to someone to be like, how are they capable of that? And we are allowed to tell them, it's not us. It's that I have permission and privilege to go to the character and the capacity of my God. So when I continue to study about, I have stored up, treasured, hid, laid up God's word in my heart, that I may not sin against God. One commentary said, it's internalizing God's word so deeply that it becomes a guiding principle for one's life. Internalizing God's word so deeply that it just becomes us. And I want to have it stored up, treasured, hid, laid up so much in me that it just pours and oozes out. That's overflow. That's excess. That is, I am doing it for myself continually, and it's just coming out of my mouth, my heart, my mind, my soul, my actions. It's so authentic. And then I can invite other people to walk with me as I walk with Jesus, or I can offer to walk with them as they walk with Jesus. Let's walk with Jesus together. But it first and foremost comes from, what are my inputs? What am I going to do to be at that level of storing up, hiding, treasuring, laying up God's word in my life? And I'm going to give you one example, just a personal example for myself. It is my daily morning rhythms with God. It is seeking His Spirit. It is my, I give you this day as soon as I get up. It is, rid me of what is not becoming of a daughter of a king. It is, fill me with your Spirit enough for today. And it is to send me out under those I need to hear from, be ministered to, by, and send me over into anyone that it is that I could somehow pour over, walk alongside, minister to, shed a light, share part of my treasure that I've stored up. Now, how that looks for you is unique and personal to you. What are you going to be reading in the Bible? What plan? Who are you doing it with? What's your accountability? How do you journal or write it down? Or how do you interact with God's word? That is personal and private for you. Those are your rhythms of your relationship with him. That is your choice. But go ahead and plan it now. I have had mine planned. I have spent the last 2 months gathering and offering other women to join me so that when January 1 starts, without a shadow of a doubt, I know my commitment to the discipline of my inputting so I internalize God's word deeply this upcoming year. And I want you to take time with that. Pray about it. Ask a friend, ask a mentor. Now I want you to shut the paper back again so all you see is the word out. And on this page, I want you to write these verse reference. Hebrews 10:22-25. Hebrews 10:22-25. Sometimes I think we worry too much about, oh, in the upcoming year, what am I going to do for either myself personally or for God? We're worried too much about the output. And what God has just allowed me to realize of late is it's not about your doing for him. It's not about you, oh, I'm going to commit to all of this. It's about the first commitment to just keeping your relationship with him, deepening it by reading and obeying and responding to his word. So let me read Hebrews 10:22-25 over you. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The beginning of this verse is, hold fast, persevere, be steadfast, be disciplined, be committed to what you know is promised to the faithful. Have that hope, be committed to that hope without wavering. And one way for me to commit to belief of hope and promise without wavering is to continually meet with him in his word. Continually, repetition, make the decision to show up at the table and open his word and seek his spirit to reveal truth to me. If I am continually showing up in a practice of discipline with him, I don't have the opportunity to waver, because it is my repeated discipline and commitment that I'm going to meet with you each morning, and it helps me not to waver. Now, that's a personal commitment. That's the in. Now, here is one step toward out, and let us consider how to stir up one another. So out of our personal commitment again to the input that we are going to commit to be doing privately, independently with him, will he spur on how we're going to stir up and encourage others? And it says, not neglecting to meet together. So one of the first things he reminds us is have perseverance to show up daily with him privately, and then have a commitment and perseverance to show up together in a community. The easiest way for that is to be a part of a church, attend Sunday services. But beyond that, how can you encourage one another in a small group, community group, life group, Bible study, a few of your neighbors in your home, coworkers, meet at a coffee shop, Marco Polo with each other, have a text thread? How can you go beyond just Sunday to talk about what you're doing personally with God, but making it public with each other? And just a few, just a vulnerable few that you're going to be really open and accountable to. And if you look up the stir up word, it means to vigorously put your practice into action. That's what it's talking about. It's being like compelled to do something about it. So you're privately reading the Word of God. You're privately on the inside of this, making commitments to what is it going to look like for me personally with God? What am I going to choose as a resource to do personally with God? How am I going to read the Word of God personally? How am I going to internalize it so that it's a guiding principle for me? But then on the out, the only thing we have to commit to is being open and available for the Spirit to prompt us that from what we're doing on the inside, our relationship, that it can now become to overflow into others. How can we start to take what we're internalizing and put that into action? And not just us putting it into action, but talking about it to the point where we're holding other people accountable to their actions. So the really, really simple way, and Maddie and I have talked about it before on this podcast, is to basically whatever it is that you are reading, however it is you're reading in the Word of God, you seek to find a truth from the Word of God every day, and you ask yourself, how can I apply that truth? What does it look like to find a truth from the Word of God and then apply it? And then talk about it to someone else so that you more vigorously begin to put what you're reading from the Word of God, that truth from God's Word, into practice and action. And then when I looked into, and all the more as you see the day drawing near, there were two different things that I came across. One was, of course, Christ's return, and the other was perhaps your death and your ascending into heaven because your day on earth is over. Some of us will not live to see Christ's return, and others of us will. So either way, the day is going to draw near that your time on earth is over or Christ's time to return is now. So basically what it's saying is hold fast to hope. Don't waver. Don't fall prey to Satan's lies. Be faithful to what he's promised. And consider how you're going to encourage other people who are also reading his word to put it into practice and action now. Don't wait. Don't wait until he comes back or wait until you die to have reflected and thought, man, I should have done more with what I knew about God's word. I should have invited more people. I should have persuaded more people. I should have talked to more people. I should have asked more people. I should have encouraged more people. And then I loved Matthew Henry commentary said, the communion of saints is a privilege. And that privilege of communion with fellow saints helps us maintain our perseverance. So here's just what I am really passionate about. Get into the Word of God yourself every day. Seek His truth. Seek to put His truth into action. And then don't be quiet about it. Seek to find one or two other people that you can also talk about God's truth with and spur each other into action and be motivated by it. And what it does is it helps us maintain our commitment. Because if you have one or two other people doing it alongside you, it's accountability. It's encouraging. If you get to that place, when you get to that place where, oh man, I've missed a few days. I've skipped a few days. Maybe I was out of town. I didn't take it with me, or I was sick, or I've just been really stressed. Someone else is going to encourage you and say, that's okay. Pick it up and get back in it. It's okay. We're right here. We're here to encourage you. God gives so much grace. Satan breathes guilt. God grace, Satan guilt. God peace, Satan chaos. God delight, Satan defeat. So don't go into 2026 with a bunch of to-do lists. Go into 2026 with, God, I am here. I'm going to show up. I'm going to commit to showing up. I'm going to commit to showing up with you, but have a few people that are going to be there to show up with you. Internalize it, and then who are you going to talk about it with? And here's just an example of my personal reading today, how you seek a truth and you seek to apply that truth. I was reading, as I finished up the one-year YouVersion Bible plan, in James, and the verse in chapter 1, verse 21, is "Receive with meekness the implanted word." And when I looked up implanted, it said engrafted. So like receive the word of God so continually that you basically don't know where you start and it stops, or it starts and you stop. It's been engrafted. And the imagery that came to me is in our backyard, we've been here 4 years and we planted it after we moved in. We moved Thanksgiving 4 years ago. We planted a maple tree, and it was pretty mature when we bought it, so it's doing well. But in high winds this past spring, one of the limbs broke. Well, I didn't want my husband to saw it off and just sever it. It had beautiful branches coming from that one limb. So I looked up on how you could graft the branch back. So we bought the glue. We bought some like clear limb tape. We bought like how you would strengthen it, almost like how you'd put a splint on a broken finger. So my husband splinted it and we wrapped it, and we keep checking on it, and it looks like it's just so regrafted into each other. You don't even know where the break was, where it happened. We're still too fearful or scared to take the clear wrapping off of it. Right now, we're like, we're just going to let it go. For a while, my husband had it stringed up and tethered back to the trunk. But now we're so confident about that, we've taken the tethered string off, but we still haven't unwrapped it. But it's that idea of, I want to be glued. I want to be splinted. I want to be wrapped with clear cellophane tape so tightly to the word of God and it to me that you can hardly see where the word's truth starts and Paulette stops and where Paulette starts and the word stops, because it should just be so, what did we say? Internalized. That it becomes what? Just such a guiding principle for our life. That our simple clarity is, well, what does God's word say? What are you going to do? Well, what does God's word tell me to do? That's what I'm going to do. Well, aren't you fearful? No, it tells me in the word I shouldn't fear. Well, aren't you worried? No, what should I have to worry about? And then I looked, along with my one-year reading plan for today, it was Psalm 117, 1 through 12. And in verses 1 and 2, it's his faithfulness endures forever. His faithfulness endures forever. And what I journaled was, does my faithfulness to him endure forever? Or am I a little more, according to the situation, is how faithful I'll be? Do I gauge my faithfulness by my circumstances? Because God doesn't judge us that way. He's faithful to us even when we're not. So what does that look like to continually, permanently, perpetually have faith in him? For me, it's showing up daily, having a time, place, and a space to show up and meet with him, to keep an appointment with him, and to go ahead and plan before I start a new year, what that time, place, space, and what I'm going to do when I'm there, what that looks like. So I don't waver. Remember Hebrews 10, 22? Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without what? Wavering. It's so easy to waver when you don't have a set plan. Failing to plan is planning to what? Fail. And then Proverbs 28:1, another verse of today, was the righteous are bold as a lion. Bold as a lion. So be bold. Don't keep it to yourself. Be bold to say, hey, how are you planning to walk with God in his word next year? And if they look at you like, I haven't really thought about it, offer them a suggestion or two. They don't have to do what you're doing. Ask them what they've done in the past. Give them a suggestion of what worked for you in the past. Or if they don't have a plan and you have chosen one, offer them your chosen plan. They may just be waiting for someone to give them a resource. And then in Ezekiel 37 and 38, which was also part of today's reading, it was, "Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." That's how we become alive, is the breath of the Holy Spirit. It's God's power and grace. It's Jesus' salvation. It's by studying his word. That's how we get the breath of spiritual life in us. If you're like, you know what, I don't read the word and respond to it like that, Paula. I don't get out of it what apparently you get out of it. Have you asked? Have you gone to him repeatedly at the table each day and say, I feel dry. Please enliven me. Please give me the green pasture still waters. Please meet me. And then I really want you to think about that stirring up, that communing with others, how encouraging that is. If you're not in a community, maybe that's what you need. Because one commentary said, studying the word of God in community is allowing the Spirit to give you unity. Community in the Spirit brings you unity. So if other people are excited and encouraged and are being empowered by God's word, it can help boost you. We are asked to be doers of the word, not just hearers. Take some time. Commit only to what you are going to discipline yourself and input yourself with. What is it? What is your plan to meet with God in a space and place every day? And who can you do that with? And pray and allow God to guide you into how that truth will turn into action. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and space and place to talk about you. Community brings unity. I hope people are already stirred up and excited for how they're going to walk with you in the year approaching. And if there's anyone listening that still doesn't know, that they pray about it, that you speak to them, that you reveal it to them, that someone offers them, asks them, joins them, that they are bold enough as a lion to ask somebody else, like, what are you doing? Can I join you? That they are a part of a church that has something being offered in the upcoming year that they feel compelled to join. Lord, you meet with us. Where two or three are gathered, you are there. And you are with me, Holy Spirit, all the time. God, that's the comforter you gave us after Jesus rose and joined you in heaven. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for the fact that you are sufficient. You are more than enough. That you are powerful. That you meet our limitations. That our weaknesses are invitations for us to ask for you to show up and let you display your might. That our weaknesses and flaws and our failures help you show how perfect you are, and that you understand and accept our weakness. And that we can take joy in your character, that you complete us. That it's a surrender. It's not being weak, it's just surrendering. It's just saying, I'm not enough, but you are everything. Lord, thank you for impassioning me to invite others into the walk with you that I'm going to begin. And I thank you for how you have had women just leap in and ask others, and how excited everyone is that we can boast in you, that we can already trust what you're going to do, what you're doing and what you are going to do within us. That we seek your truth and we seek to live it out. We seek to put your truth to action. Lord, I love you so. Holy Spirit, you are my best friend. It's in your Son Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.